Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Welcome to Suplexes and Cerveza with Chavo Guerrero Jr. I'm your host, Chavo Guerrero Jr. On today's podcast, we have one of the hottest tag teams in all of professional wrestling today. The Good Brothers, Gallows and Anderson, my good brothers. So without further ado, let's get into it. You boys ready?
Yep.
Yeah, we were practicing your cold open. Do you want to hear what I think it should be?
All right, let's see it.
And then I don't know. But we've been just doing that back and forth for like 3 days.
when you left to talk and chop the last time, when you said bye to us, and then we went, ooh, Chavo, for about two or three minutes.
We just couldn't stop. You can tell everyone to shut up, talk over them, do whatever you want. That's the beauty of having your own podcast. You can run the show. Tell them to fuck off. You can tell us any of that stuff. We can't do anything.
Yeah, see, Chavo and Gallows and I, Gallows is talking over you. It's perfect.
Yeah.
That's perfect, right? I got to get to the
You picked a terrible first guest, but no, I'm glad to be here.
This is the best one. This is the best one.
For your first one, if you don't want to talk much, you can just have us. You know, we'll come on and just talk.
You can just kind of sit back and figure out how you're going to mediate when you have real guests. We can't even let the other one talk.
See, he can even put his microphone down while he's getting himself situated, figuring out what he's going to do, get his beer ready, crack it open, because he knows that right there, Gallows and Anderson won't shut the fuck up long enough to let him talk. There we go. We can even host a thing for you for a little while.
Look, he's doing what every podcast host needs. He's getting a little beer ski. He's comfortable. He's just chilling away from the wife and the kids for a minute. It's really an escapism is what it is for us.
Exactly.
It really is.
Do something totally different. So I know a lot about Gallows, right? I know that we've partied, on several different continents and several different bars and different continents and different hotel rooms and different restaurants everywhere around the world.
Yeah, from the dives to the big
start. How did you guys learn, get together? Because I know from Gallows was with me in WWE, then we went to TNA, and, there's this big, huge 6'7" guy, massive, with cowboy boots on. And
he likes to be 6'8" now, Chavo.
Yeah, who could work?
I just keep growing, but really I'm shrinking the whole time.
is a guy who can work, a guy who does business, who can talk and everything. And hey, let's fire him. Let's let him go. And I was like, who's running these companies? Then I hear he's going to New Japan, and I'm like, okay, that's a fit for you, man. That's where you got to be. And then all of a sudden, I say he's tagging with this guy that I don't even know who he is. This Carl Anderson's machine gun. And I'm like, all right, so how did you guys get started?
Well, I'll start the question because I have to talk over him, but this is actually to put him over. He, I said that like real early on because I knew of him very well, but I hadn't seen a lot of it. So I started watching before I went, and I was like, this guy's like the best kept secret in wrestling because he knows it now. We've talked about it, but when you're in America and one of these American companies, you kind of live in a little bit of a bubble.
Right.
Like when you're working that WWE schedule, you're not watching what the brothers in New Japan are doing necessarily. The brothers in Impact or now AEW or whatever. Because you're so busy in that 4 or 5 days a week. Then you go home, you got to put time in the wife, the kids, you go back out. you don't really know. So I'm like, fuck, this motherfucker is like one of the best I've ever seen before. And now he's my partner. So it was pretty cool. But I mean, he had an 8-year career there. And what was it? 2 before, 3 before I got there. So 5 years of building himself up. And I'll let him tell you that part. But he's a big deal over there when I got there. He was like in that country, a huge deal.
Yeah, I'd been there for 5 years before. I teamed up with A-Train, with Matt Bloom now, who
misused talent.
Yep. Yeah, he had gotten himself over there as probably the number one Gaijin guy in Japan, the number one foreigner going over there.
Right.
And when they brought me in as just a young boy, because they'd seen a tape, they liked what they saw from a pro wrestling guerrilla show, and they brought me over on a young boy contract to train in the dojo on, you know, really small money. But I didn't care at that time. I didn't have kids.
So
you had a
tree to stay there and train in the dojo.
Yeah, 3 months at a time.
This was
yeah.
a two week trip. This was like you're going there, living there.
You're going
there, brother.
I didn't even have a return flight when they flew me in. It was a hat on.
I take it off to you right now because I know exactly how hard that is. That's
yeah,
dude. You're tougher than a lot of us.
It was tough, dude. And I mean, yeah, wake up early and clean the dojo and go outside and clean off the street in front of the dojo too. And, right. and do laundry for people. And you hear my wife yelling right now.
Well, that's because we're real humans, guys.
Somebody's wife yelling.
The worst. So with all these cool things I did, being fired from the WWE in the middle of a global pandemic has been the hardest because I'm just stuck at home with so much stuff and then trying to run and trying to do things and work at home. Holy fuck. Now that's who I tip my hat off to.
Right.
People who have children and try to work at home. That's some real shit right there.
Oh my God. You're like a real person now. Like,
oh my God.
And you know, we're not real people. So like you gotta fuck. Yeah, that's a question I want to ask.
Cause we're not real humans. This is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Trying to be at home all the time and try to figure out how to work.
Right.
Have some semblance of normalcy in your life.
But yeah, but each contract got better and better. I guess I just kept impressing the higher ups there, the head bookers there. They just liked me more and more and more than I ended. They ended up putting me in a tag team with A-Train and we gelled well and they put the tag team titles on us and we held those titles for like whatever the amount of days it was the longest reign that New Japan tag team champions had ever had.
Wow.
And that was cool. That was in 2010, 2011. And then Matt ended up re-signing back with the WWE.
Right.
And they gave me a nice, you know, I started getting a nice sweet singles run. I started getting this big sweet shove, right?
Here comes the best part of the story.
2012.
Welcome,
I mean,
your tag team partner.
I'm main eventing. I'm main eventing Tokyo Ryogoku. I mean, singles matches. I'm main eventing the pay per view in Hiroshima versus Tanahashi. I mean, I'm on a roll here. And then I'm sitting down in some arena, and Hattori is who's booked talent for years. Yeah, he's an older guy, great guy. He goes, "Hey man, you see this worker?" And I go, and I see him. I recognize this. You know, to me, he was just Festus, right? That's it. That's all I know him as. And I go, "Oh yeah, he's good." Because I mean, and I'm never a guy to bury one of the boys. Sure. I just go, "Oh yeah, he's great worker."
I love the comb over.
Yeah. No. But this was actually a tape of him wrestling at TNA, right? So he was whatever he was there, Doc, right? Okay.
Yeah. Right.
I go, "Oh, good worker." He goes, "Yeah, he's good, big guy too, man. Maybe good tag team partner for you." And I went, whoa.
Hold the fucking phone here, pal.
What the fuck you're talking about? I don't know where that came from.
Getting that singles run, son.
I'm thinking about me, you know.
The sumo arena and
what the fuck?
Yeah, hold on a second. But, you know, they put us together. We clicked right away. We drank about 57 beers the first night we went out together after having some amazing match in Tokyo.
Yes.
They put us over for the World Tag League Tour, the World Tag League. We won the whole thing. And then we won the tag team championships at, Wrestle Kingdom 8, maybe?
Yeah, right.
Whatever it was. We won the tag team titles at the, you know, very next month in the Tokyo Dome. And so, like, you know, and we knew it was a match made in heaven. When if anybody that's been around me and if anybody that's been around Gallows, then you see us get together, they're like, "Oh shit, these two together are fucking unbelievable."
We had both heard from other brothers in the business, like, "Hey, do you know Carl Anderson or do you know Gallows?" No.
Right.
"Oh, you guys would be great together." And that, so you'll appreciate this, Chavo. I've told it a couple times, but I'll say it again. Here he goes. The match is over. And I'm like, "Fuck, we did pretty fucking good. I think I'm in over here. I think, I mean, one match, who knows?"
Who was the first match against?
Fuck, I don't know.
Who was right. Okay, you guys just gelled as a team. You can tell. You can tell the listeners out there that don't know wrestling, or even the wrestling fans out there that are listening. You know, when you can gel with somebody, there's just something magic about it.
Yeah, yeah. He literally goes, "Do you like Mexican food?" I said, "Yeah, I love it." "Do you like beer?" I said, "I love it even more." He goes, "Do you want to eat and drink it for free at my sponsor?" I went, "Yes, please." And about an hour and a half later, we're like, "Oh fuck yeah, this is great."
I love you, man.
Yeah. I was actually hanging out probably a couple years prior to that in Tokyo with Trent Beretta, now with AEW.
Yeah.
And I was telling a story about something, and he goes, "Man, do you know Gallows?" And I go, "No, I know of him, but no." And he goes, "God, you guys would just really get along." And I was like, "Whatever. He's a whatever, dude. You know, yeah, he'd be lucky to get along with me." And now that I know Gallows, guys, probably, "Oh, fuck him. He's just, never been on American TV anyway. He's a fucking mark. Nobody knows him."
Exactly.
But it was, of course, we both said that. It's sad now because it's a match made in heaven, and I can never go anywhere else without him. And but I do, you know, when I go on the road, I just enjoy him being there. He's one of the only guys in the world that can drop me to my knees with laughter. And like, and it's, you know, after all these years now, it's been 7 straight years of being on the road a lot.
Well, all wrestlers are quirky. You know, when your quirks go together,
it's easy. Like when I hang out with him all the time, and he's been in India and different places, it's just easy. We get along, and there's no drama, there's no bullshit. It's just a good time. So
we find somebody to laugh at quick. Absolutely. Ditto. There was a dude in India where you kept calling him Indian Dusty. He was like this little short fat guy, and he didn't know how to wrestle, but he would do Dusty Rhodes' comeback. And
all right, so I'm gonna
we get drunk and start losing it. "Come here, Indian Dusty. Go get us this. Go get us that."
I'm gonna share something with you guys. So hold on 1 second. Let me see if you see this comes up.
If you have the fart, I'm gonna lose my mind.
See that one, right? All right. So that's me. That's me and the guy driving home. I got another one. Hold on a second.
I gotta take a picture of that.
If you have the fart, I'm gonna die.
Let me see this one right here. Boom, come up. That's another one.
I couldn't open my eyes at any of them.
Look at both you guys.
I know we're having fun now. Let me see this one.
Yeah, we were.
I like your little trimmed blackened beard.
look at this, Chad. Watch this, Chad.
So this is the story.
We hated this guy.
This is the backstory. The backstory is that there was I should have said the backstory before I even pulled this up. But there was this Indian guy. These Indian teams, and these big strong guys.
They weren't wrestlers. They were just I don't know what they were.
There were no wrestlers there. They were just like a bunch of Indian people. They trained like 2 weeks to be a wrestler. Yeah. And we were there to make them look good. There's no place to go in India. So we're bored. We're in the lobby drinking beer or the little room by the lobby.
The whole time.
As we come out, Galloway looks at me and goes, "Hey, Chavo, come here." And we see one of those big strong guys passed out on the couch in there.
But he got heat with us though, remember? Because he'd bring these oil boys in, they'd rub oil all over his body. And we're like, "Look at this motherfucker getting oiled up by these dudes." Like, fuck him.
Yeah, totally. Yo, they were standing there and getting these little job good boys to put all the oil on them. And they were like, "Oh, you're so like, you missed a spot."
Yeah, it was weird.
We were all
shit.
Pissed. So he comes out and goes, "Look, man, you got to check this out." So we kind of kayfabed and we went over, and I'm like, "Well, we got to do something to him." And sure enough, this is a video. Hold on a second. So it's like a 2-second video, but Gallows puts his butt in his face, and then this is what happens. So if you hear that little, I don't know, I'm not a video guy, but hold on, you hear it again. Hold on. Farted right in his face.
Well, Chavo, you figured out Zoom better than me and Gallows. We could never figure out.
We could never put anything up. I was going, "How's he doing that? He's already
I did some tutorials, brother. I did it. I got it all good."
Amazing. We need to tell Rocky about that.
We've been doing these for like 6 months with no clue what we're doing.
Oh, it's easy. You see, I was looking for, I had another one and it's not popping up and I don't know why, but let me see. Boom. Maybe this is it. Does that pop up? No. Okay,
so that's perfect too, and that's so Gallows.
Yeah, so let me see if I can share this one.
Well, ripping a fart in some Mark's face.
Oh, this is one. Okay, this is me and this is the little pimp. This little Indian guy was a pimp, right?
He was a sexual bandit.
Me and Dallas were totally with him, and he was this kid. I mean, he's a good looking guy, but he was like a little person, and he had girls all over him, and he was always smiling, and it was this guy.
He did. He had a crew. He was like something else outside of wrestling, some kind of comedian or something. And he had chicks all over him the whole time.
Awesome. Let me get rid of that. So anybody who's listening, we're sharing some on my Zoom that you can see on my Patreon page. You can see these pictures in this Zoom meeting also, but it was awesome, man.
You can see the exposed ass of Gallows.
So, Carl, who trained you, brother?
So I first moved to Cincinnati, and when I saw the MTV True Life, I Want to Be a Pro Wrestler, I saw Les Thatcher's school on there, and I moved from North Carolina to Cincinnati, and I trained with Les for about 3 months, but this was in the year 2000, right when I think he had just signed a WCW developmental deal.
Yeah, I remember.
And his mom was
like, I'm going to go do this. This is
I quit college and I went,
aren't going to take my money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing bad can happen.
And like, you know, I'm average size, average look, like, especially then, like, I think now I carry myself like a brother, but like then I just probably, I mean, they probably didn't know what they were getting. I mean, I'm 5'11", six foot.
They're getting $3,000.
They're getting Well, he didn't get all that though, because I only trained there for about 3 months. And then his mom was passing away at this time. It's 20 years ago.
Right.
And so he wasn't coming around much, right? And I didn't know anything about the business. And there was just these, to me, I'm going, who the fuck are these guys? But they were his students training me. And I'm going, I don't know who these guys are. I'm out. This sucks. Like, and I ended up becoming friends with like guys like Surfer Cody Hawk and Matt Stryker, not the one that got in WWE.
Unibrow Stryker.
Yeah, Unibrow Stryker. When I moved there, I go, who are these guys? I'm not getting trained like that. I'm out of here. And I ended up switching over to a guy named Roger Ruffin, who trained Abyss and Wildcat Chris Harrison.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
He ended up teaching me a lot about the business. He was a referee with the WWE. He refereed Roddy Piper versus Bret Hart at WrestleMania 8. Oh, I mean, wow. He did some cool things, but that's where I ended up just going through the Cincinnati independent scene and Kentucky and Tennessee and all that kind of bullshit there. Then I moved to Los Angeles, and that's where I got hooked up with the New Japan Dojo, and that was in LA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you were up there with like Simon Inoki and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I came right. I moved there in 2006. Yeah, that's when I met Simon. Simon was running. He was the president of New Japan then. Right. I think that was a very tumultuous time, I think, in New Japan Pro Wrestling. It was very, like, very strange.
I remember meeting him, and it's like I'm Inoki's son, and I'm like, what?
I'm Inoki's son.
It was weird. But Simon actually works with WWE now, WWE Japan.
That's good.
Awesome. Well, good for him. He's still in the business.
Yeah, he's still in the business. I don't know what he does, but that's Gallows. Works. I guess that's Gallows imitating him when he booked you for IGF.
I'm sorry. Yeah, So go ahead.
Okay, do it. We won't cut you off.
He called me and he goes, Keith, because my name was Keith Hansen for some reason. Keith, I go, hello. He goes, Keith, is that you? And I said, this is Drew. And he goes, is it Keith? And I was going, is he fucking drunk right now or what?
Keith, you know, and New Japan business was bad then in 2006, 2007. But then, like, it just kept each year. They switched management, switched booking team, switched presidents. I think Simon got fired in like 2008 or something, or whenever it was, or 2007. And each year it just got better and better. And now New Japan's been running really, really, you know, really hot.
In that dojo, in the New Japan dojo in Los Angeles, you met Rocky, right?
Yep. And then I remember they were like, TJ was there. Like Rocky
was there. Mishida was there. Not like the MMA fighter and stuff. There was a lot.
So he wasn't there when I got there. They kept saying a guy named Nakamura was coming, and I wasn't very familiar with New Japan talent. Cause I mean, I wasn't a tape trader. Right. And I didn't really know much about New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Right.
Then when I got there, I obviously started learning. They said a guy named Shinsuke Nakamura was coming, but he'd already been the champion over there, and I didn't even realize that yet. And so that's what they sent Shinsuke to Los Angeles to live and train and just kind of take his excursion away, because I think he had a match with Brock Lesnar in Tokyo that they didn't like or something. Mm-hmm. But they sent Shinsuke to America, and that's where me and him became like brothers, because we just – you know, we were the same exact age. We were training together every day. We went and what'd we do? What did we do to bond the most? We loved beer. And we both, and we didn't like to just have one. We liked to have 10. I think one time I was working out in the dojo and he came in fucking pretty lit up and was like watching me. He's like, "You like to drink?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "You finish soon?" I go, "I'm done. Let's go. Whenever you want." Because I was living in the dojo at that time. Yeah,
oh, crack that Los Guerreros open, brother.
Because, I mean, like, you know, Shinsuke at this time, fuck, he'd been there for a couple years. He was probably making like $100,000 or something, for example. And I only had 50, 60 bucks to my name because I didn't just, that's where I was in my life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's to me, Shinsuke making, I remember Rocky was like, he probably makes about 95, 100. And I was like, and I don't know, he didn't know. He just was guessing. And I was like, God dang. Fuck, bro, what's it like up there? What's it like bucks? Dealing with money like that? You know? But like all that helped me get to where I was able to go to New Japan, somehow, you know, somewhat get over in Japan, come to WWE probably later in my career than most people think should go to WWE at the time. I mean, I didn't sign with WWE till I was 36, and like,
you know, that's the way it used to be. So growing up, you didn't get to WWE until you were 15 years in, until you were like at the height of your career. That's when you went to WWF at the time. You didn't get there, you know, because only the best of the best went there. That's just the way it was. Then it like switched. Like, I don't know what happened, but now all of a sudden, like, you almost start your career there and then you go other places, you know?
Weird.
So I don't, it's weird, but like, you know, my dad and all those crazy ass guys, like Steve Kern and stuff. Those guys, you didn't make it there. I'm not talking about doing like one shot at the Garden for them. No. To get to WWF,
have a run.
You had to be. You're 15 years in, 20 years in. Yeah. You've been. Yeah. You're like a 45 year old man to get there, and now it's like.
But I think this though. I was talking about this with him and with AJ before because, like, you know, I remember always being in my 20s and stuff. But I always think, like, if a guy could not get hurt between 35 and 45, like, you know what you're doing the most. You're the best. You're the best performer you'll probably ever be.
Absolutely.
Between 35 and 45, if you're injury free, because you're finally comfortable in your own skin, you're not all awkward and shit. Like,
right.
You know what you do. You know, you have confidence. Like, guys like that are always like, they, I don't know. It's just something about it.
Right. You may not be the best athlete you've been.
Right.
You know, you're 21 years old. You
can right. You're not. Yeah.
But you're smart. You're the best wrestler you are when you're 35, you're 35, 38. That's when you become a great wrestler.
I met you when you were 38. And I remember riding in a car with me, you, and Miz, and you were at Shelton that night. And you're like, "Yeah, guys, we call a lot of it in the ring." And I went, "Well, like, I can call a match in the ring, but I'm like, hey, stay. Like, how the fuck did you call that in the ring?" And you're like, "Well, this is how we did it." And you're explaining like how you guys are working and calling spots. I was like, "Holy fucking shit!" It kind of proves the point though, because you, when you're this age and you're comfortable with somebody, you can get in there and just fucking bang around. That's good shit.
Yeah, I couldn't do that when I was 26 in WCW.
Right.
You learn. Yeah, exactly. Now I could do more stuff at 26.
Yeah.
You know, where I had more balls at 26, where I haven't been injured yet, so I'm doing a triple flip out to the ground.
Yeah.
But I didn't know while I was doing it, and I couldn't call it in the ring like that.
Yeah.
Did you go to HWA whenever WCW closed? I was wondering if you guys ever crossed paths at that time.
No. I went straight from WCW to
WWF TV, right?
Picked up to
to
WWF. Yeah, no, I wasn't actually. They had the developmental deal, but I'd already switched over to Roger by the time they started sending the guys there. That's when they sent all the, you know, the Lash LaRue. I remember he was around the city, and Jason.
He was in your group. Yep.
Right. Lash.
Remember Jason Jett? Was he an ECW guy too for a second?
Jason Jett was a WCW guy, yeah.
Yeah.
He was an ECW guy.
ECW first.
WCW.
Oh, okay.
He was doing all these awesome moves. We're like, wow, this guy's really good. But I didn't know that he was stealing them all from ECW guys. He was stealing all this stuff from Tajiri. Yeah, I was like, oh, geez, I didn't even know. Yeah, well, like, that's new, innovative.
Look at how innovative this kid is.
Nope, I remember... We, a couple of the guys that still worked for HWA, I'd go hang out with them. Brother, and then Jason Jett came over and he like put a tape in his VCR and he was like showing us ECW stuff that he did. And I was like, fuck, this guy fucking made it, brother.
Showing you matches of himself.
I mean, yeah, but he made it already. But now, like, right, you know, right. like, My career just blew his out of the water.
Fuck him. Whatever happened to him?
I don't know. He made tights with easy money tights at easytights.com. He made some great tights.
But bro, you got to remember that was like 2002 and 2003 though, when that Easy Tights was a thing. I remember
18
that.
Years ago now. So I haven't heard from him or around. Well, he was always nice.
If they're going to return to any promotion, I bet it's going to be Talking Chop-a-Mania.
Oh, Jason. Okay, Jason.
So we're in a minute. So hold on 1 second. So we do this little thing on suplexes and cervezas, podcast sounds name great. Here. So it's called Rapid Fire. So we'll throw a couple, about maybe 20 little rapid fire questions at you. And just say the first thing that comes to your mind, first thing, what you guys think, right?
Yep.
So right. You guys ready? You guys down?
Easy.
Do it.
All right. So new cars or vintage cars?
New.
New.
Both of you? News?
Yeah.
Okay, you got the new cars. Okay. Are you a light beer or are you a full strength beer, guys?
Light beer.
Full strength as I'm getting older.
All right. So, that being said, are you like a Coors Brewing Company guy or Anheuser-Busch guys?
Coors.
Bud Light.
It's tough, though.
Yeah. Anheuser-Busch. Okay, that's cool. No problem. Yeah. So it'd be, one's a Coors Light and one's a Bud Light guy. Awesome. I love it.
But I can go either way.
We both are like the beer. Yeah, it's a tough question for two guys who love beer.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So the first time I ever met Fit Finley and Dave Taylor, they were getting their visas in El Paso because they could go to Juarez, Mexico across the street and get it done. And they came and watched Super Bowl at Eddie's house. And I was living at Eddie's house training for wrestling right before I got to WCW. And I go, hey, guys, you know, what's your favorite beer? And Fit Finley goes, cold.
Yeah.
James Storm.
All right, so red wine or white wine?
Red.
Both red guys, okay. Are you guys St. Patty's Day guys or Cinco de Mayo guys?
Both. Cinco de Mayo.
Both, okay. Cinco de Mayo, okay, cool.
It's an excuse to party.
Right. Yeah. Ali or Tyson?
Fuck, Tyson.
Tyson, that's what I grew up on.
It's our generation, yeah.
Cool, okay, great. Bourbon or vodka?
Vodka. Bourbon makes me do weird shit.
Right.
So does vodka, but I'd rather have vodka than bourbon.
I've done some really weird shit
on bourbon. Okay, are you a blonde or brunette?
Blonde.
Brunette.
Blonde, brunette. Now, don't feel obligated because your wives are blonde and brunette.
I think we're both being honest, though. Like,
no, that's just being honest, yeah.
That's good. All right, these are some road questions. So are you a Waffle House or Cracker Barrel?
Lately, Cracker Barrel.
I think it's case by case, but we wouldn't choose either one of those because they don't sell alcohol.
Right. We're looking for somewhere you can get a beer.
All right, cool. Now, on a plane, are you first class or would you rather have the whole roll to yourself?
First class. Me softly, bring the drinks, bring the premium dinner, the fucking snacks, is unlimited drinks, you know what I mean?
We got spoiled in our last run.
We got spoiled in our last contract. The only one that ever had first class in it.
I never got it. So you guys are above me. I never once got it.
For a second.
We got it, Chavo.
Hey, can I get the upgrade?
We got it. That might have been why we got canned. Just another reason.
These motherfuckers. Who do they think they are asking for first class?
Michael Hayes saw that and buried us.
Oh, of course.
Exactly. Okay, so are you a boob guy or butt guys?
Oh man! Just as a sex addict, I'd say every orifice, every part of my body.
Yeah, I think I'm a smooth skin guy and everything.
He does have a smooth skin fetish. We're weird guys to ask the sex questions too.
well, staying at Gallows's house the last couple months ago, you guys, I know you're newlyweds. I get it. Oh, cool, but. Like, I wish I had them with sex.
Yeah, this guy.
My buddy who helps me around the house, he's here right now, and he goes, I said, you can't hear that. It's two floors away. And he goes, sounds like you're coming through the fucking ceiling. And I'm like, I guess when there's no, like, it's nighttime and there's no TV on, like, people can hear you banging. It sucks.
Yeah.
Well, when I went to bed and in my room, there was a 100-milligram Viagra on the nightstand. I was like, all right, cool.
Gotcha, bro.
My wife's like, no. Oh, no. I'm tired. I'm like, So then I went back out and drank with Knox and Haley.
Oh, fuck, dude. Just random Viagras laying around.
I was like, right. Is that on? What is it? Is that
the full brother house here.
I took it. I was like, all right.
And of course, you get excited and pop it.
You're getting hammered with Knox as your deal's hitting the table.
Yeah, right. So are you, after sex, do you guys snuggle or get the fuck off me? I got to go sleep.
I like to lay with my beautiful, hot Asian wife. Just snuggle up with her.
And you are the awesome guy.
Yeah, I'm pretty blown up, so I got to jump off of it. I got to walk around, get my breath, take a pee. Yeah. Maybe not a shower because I'm hoping for round two ski. And then I'll cuddle after that, but I got to get up right away.
Right. You're always thinking about round two, though.
I'm a round two guy.
That's
awesome. Four and six.
That was awesome. Hulk Hogan or Ric Flair?
Hulk Hogan.
I was a Ric Flair guy.
Cool.
Ric Flair.
There's no wrong answers here, of course. That's awesome. Savage or Steamboat?
I was a big Steamboat guy.
Savage for me.
Yep.
Rock and Roll Express or the Rockers?
Rock and Roll Express, hands down. Especially after meeting the Rockers.
Hey, Marty Jannetty killed somebody. Did you guys see this today? It was a headline.
I saw that.
Son of a bitch.
Marty is he's an old school boy, man. I don't know if it's true or not, but I wouldn't.
Think Marty needs to learn a little censorship when what he puts out here publicly. I mean, we've had a couple things in the last year or so. Brother Marty, back off a season.
Pipe it down there, bud.
If you guys admit to a murder on this podcast, I will censor it out. We'll edit that out for you.
But if we do it on our own Facebook, you can't help us, right?
Well, that's on you.
That's one thing you got to worry about with us.
Yeah, they should have looked in the Chattahoochee. I mean, Marty, do you want to tell them where the bloody glove is or what happens? Yeah, exactly.
Fuck.
I love him. He's a good guy. Just sometimes,
sometimes you get into a murderous rage. Shit happens.
Okay, just a few more. Stallone or Arnold?
Stallone.
Ooh. I guess I'm an Arnold guy.
Okay, cool. Stallone. Ginger or Marianne?
Marianne.
Who are they?
Gilligan's Island, brother.
Come
on, man. Naked Night.
That was younger than me. I don't have no idea who either of those are. Right,
so I'll let that go. It was on TBS after school.
I'll edit this out. No. Yeah. And the very last one, are you guys sativa or indica?
Sativa. Indica puts you into the couch.
Yeah.
In the couch.
I'm a neither one. That shit flips me out too much.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah. Cool. Okay. I love it. So let's go back to now, Gallows, when you were, I know the story a little bit of a guy. Didn't you do a run in on somebody like when you weren't even started wrestling yet and you ran in the ring?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Who was it?
I didn't run into the ring. There's two. The first one, I was a fucking super fan.
Okay. Blithering Mark.
Blithering Mark, like when I was 14, 15.
We were all fans. I grew up in a third generation pro wrestler, and we were huge marks. We're huge fans.
But I was a blithering Mark.
I got to the point where I couldn't take my mark anymore. Like I was buying like high techs. I was dressing like the wrestlers did outside of the ring in the magazines. I was insane. I was like, I'm just gonna have to be a wrestler now. Mm-hmm. And I was in Pittsburgh. And there's two stories in Pittsburgh in the same venue, but two different occasions. The first one, I'm about 15, and it's the Attitude Era. And like, there's just a mat, you know how it is when you pull out and there's fans everywhere and it can be crazy. And it's kind of cool. And then the longer you do it, you're like, I wish they'd get the fuck away from the car. Who knows what these greasy bastards are doing?
Exactly. It's awesome. But at the same time, you're like, now all of a sudden my head's on a swivel, right? I can't just go into my car. I'm like, who's going to knife me right now?
So this isn't a testament to me being cool at all. This mm-hmm. testament how cool this guy is. Cause I'm thinking of how Chad and I, Carl and I would have reacted to this now, being us, and how this guy who was the Rock, in, '98 or whatever, well, he gets stopped and there's fans all around him. And I just take off sprinting and I'm like, 6'5", like 180 at the time. And I just do this, just jumping like cross body. And I literally land on the hood of his car. And I'm like, I didn't think I was going to make it that far. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I'm going to be in trouble. And, like, I look. And we're, like, face to face. And he does the fucking people's eyebrow. And I'm like, whoa. And then I just feel this these arms pull me and I just land straight on my head, and it's the security guys and they're just trying to beat the shit out of me. But it's these two big fat guys, and they're like rolling somehow juke, which I could never do now. And I fucking sprinted away and out into the parking lot. And then another time,
you jumped on Rock's car.
Rock.
Have you told this yet?
I've never told him. No.
The Rock's always time, Rock's a little busy when he comes around.
I will tell him. I will see him soon, and I will tell him this story.
It's
absolutely freaking love it. And
it is the truth. Pittsburgh,
47 million Instagram account.
and then the same building, like a year later.
Yeah.
I'm walking around. I'm like, I got to get to where they come in at so I can tell somebody about what a great wrestler I'm going to be, obviously.
So you're like, I got away last time. I'm doing this again.
I'm like 16 now. So I keep going through all these doors while the show's going on. It's getting close to the main event. But I'm like, I don't even care about the main event. I got to let them know I'm going to be working here probably next week. So I'm running through, and I get out into like the parking cage, like underneath the arena. And I'm like, all I got to do is wait. So I wait and I wait. And all of a sudden, Steve Austin comes out, and Deborah's with him. And he's got, like, two beer cans, and he looks so cool. I'm just like, this is the crown jewel. So I just fucking – I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm like, Stone Cold. I just take off sprinting, Chavo. And, you know, remember Jimmy Tillis?
Yeah.
Jimmy Tillis comes from the side and fucking spears me out of my high techs. Just fucking doubles me over.
I love Jimmy, but Jimmy wasn't.
I didn't see him. I was like just fucking sprinting towards Stone Cold, and he just, annihilated me. If I wasn't so young, it might have killed me. And then fucking gets me up, and he's got me in like an arm bar, and he's throwing me out and shit. So, yeah, that was my two times when I tried to get, you know, in.
That's awesome.
How did we get on that story? I don't even remember how we got.
He was just saying about how nuts I was when I was starting.
I know he did some running stuff like that. You know, so.
That makes sense.
Let's talk about because you mentioned Carl. You mentioned the Festus character. That's who you had seen, and that's how you knew who Gallows was the Festus character, right? So that's like when I first met him was. He hadn't even really done that character yet. He was just coming up, and then he went to this character. So you got this guy who's, you know, 23 years old.
Yeah.
He was, you know, pretty bald. He's got the skullet.
No. Totally bald with a fucking skullet.
Yeah. Full-blown skullet.
They make this kid who looks like he's 47 years old to... You know, to have this gimmick with this comb over on him, and if everybody's listening, don't know this, you don't know this young guy. They made him look like he's like a 47-year-old man with a full on comb over, right?
Get out of shape, wear the fucking comb over. Right, yeah.
Right. Well, what I loved about it was that he was always, you know, he'd go out. He's 20. What are you? 23.
22, 23.
Wow. We'd go out and, you know, he'd always have a hat on or a bandana on or something like that, you know. But underneath, he's got this comb over hair that he's got to have, right? He's got to have this thing. And sure enough, every once in a while, he'd meet a girl or whatever, and something, and then the hat would would somehow come off, right?
That was the end. We got to the point, like before we were cool enough to hang out with you and be all the young guys, we'd walk up to a bar that would have like a bouncer and a cover fee. And we weren't over enough to be like, hey, we're the wrestlers. So we're just standing there like marks. And then I'd stand there and be polite, and I'd walk up and they'd be like, oh, no hats. And I'm like, I'm out. I'm going back to the hotel. Have fun, guys. I'm not doing this. Yeah, totally. I'm not going to be the guy in the back of the room with the fucking comb over, for fuck's sakes. It's clutches.
Just embarrassed.
I exactly how you feel. I was always trying to cover up my bald spot before I shaved my head. And I'm like, what do you mean no hats? I got my hat. Oh, gosh.
Come on.
even when just being a bald guy before, you know, I always wanted to wear a hat because it just fucking felt weird. And I always like wearing hats anyway. But now it's whatever, you know. But I can't imagine if I don't have that hair like Festus did. Fuck.
Right.
My brother.
Like stories, like I remember one time, like he's telling a story where he's with a girl and she takes him in the shower. Am I allowed to tell the story?
Yeah, go ahead. It doesn't matter. And 15 years ago,
she takes him in the story, and I mean, takes him in the shower, and you know he's still got a bandana on, and he's trying not to get his head wet. He's like, right, and then all of a sudden, Tell the story, because I can't tell it like you can.
It's awkward to tell it at this particular moment, but
yeah, maybe Chavo. Want me to tell it?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think I know why. Let's say, so there was a, I guess like, so how old were you? This 15 years ago. You,
we can leave
you,
some stuff out. It's all right.
So I'm probably 23 or 24 when this whole story happened. Yeah.
Right. So I think that like they just about started to get, they started getting down to business, right? Like they started getting down to the actual business.
Right. Right.
And as they're getting down to the actual business, his bandana starts slipping backwards. Starts slipping backwards, and he keeps trying to pull it back down over his head, and it keeps slipping back over. It finally falls off, and she looks at him, and she goes, "Oh my God, you're bald! Get off of me!" And he goes, "What? Come on!
Too late!"
No, and she gets up, and she starts getting dressed. Says, "Get the fuck out of here!" Well, actually, it was in his room, so she goes, "I'm going. I'm out of here. I'm leaving."
Yeah, I had to wait it out. It was terrible.
I'm just a bald man, you know.
Leave me alone. I just want to watch television.
All I am is bald. Oh, but yeah, that's
I hope I didn't embarrass you, but I love those stories, man. I still tell those stories. I literally will talk to people like and just tell the story about you. They don't even know what about wrestling. And I said, hey, this is one of my buddies. This is what we do.
This fucking guy. That's the truth. You can't make up the shit that like the three of us have seen together. It's weird because never been the three of us together anywhere, but with you and with you. Yeah. Right. It's another situation where the three of us would be three amigos on the road for sure.
So here's another little game we play on Suplexes and Cerveza. So it's just a couple of different questions, not wrestling questions, and just a couple different things. So you guys ready?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So how old were you? There's nothing incriminating here. It's just different things. How old were you when you lost your virginity?
I think I was 17.
Yeah, I was too. I was late. 17 or 17.
All right. You guys are making up for it. Okay, cool. You made up for it back in the
day. Yeah, no, that's what it was for me.
You got to, you know, work it out.
Yeah, I hear you. I was the same thing. I was 17 myself. Old, late bloomer. What was the first car you had sex in?
Oh, fuck. Oh, you had the first car you had sex in?
Yeah, the first car you had sex
in. Christ. I don't even remember. I mean, definitely not my first car. And probably not my second car. So it was probably like a Ford Taurus that I got after I wrecked my other car.
Yeah, mine would have been when I was 17, probably a Ford Bronco 2.
Oh, yeah, good car.
My buddy had a Bronco 2, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what was the first fight you got into? How old were you? It was actually, fight, like, you know, like, it didn't have to be like a boxing match, but actually a fight, like a street fight.
I mean, my first fight that I can remember has a wrestling story attached to. I was in the third grade, and they were getting Crush over on TV, doing the Kona Crush at the time.
Yeah,
and this kid, the kickball went in the creek, and we would argue about who got to get in the creek and get it. It was a big deal. And this kid had just went John McKenzie, and he was like, "I'm going to get it." I was like, "No, I'm going to get it." And he goes, "You're a fat ass." And I said, "Fuck you." And he punched me in the stomach and like bent me over. So I punched him back, but I was this big heavy kid, and he went down, but he landed on his ass right in front of me. So I was just like, that's what Crush does every week. So I started giving him the Crush, right? But I'm like 150-pound third grader. And all of a sudden his jaw goes, and he's like, "Ah!" And it broke his fucking jaw, dude. And the parents had to come in, and I had to stay out of play period for like the month. And yeah, I broke his jaw, gave him the Kona Crush.
How old are you?
Fuck.
I was in the third grade.
You actually you broke somebody's jaw by crushing their head?
Well, I didn't know that you like put it up here and worked it. I was like just squeezing the hell
just
out of his
to,
face.
Just trying to kill the poor kid.
CC, brother. Even back then.
He was always CC in the max. Still. Guys, come on. Overwhelming.
All right, Carl, yours.
I got into it with the kid named Danny Luther in the neighborhood. He was a big bully. And I must have been 11. He was probably 13. And we were going back and forth. I remember in the woods, and I pushed him hard, and it made him go back about four steps. And I put my Dukes up ready to fucking go. And he punched me in the face, brother. And I went fucking flying, and he got on top of me and fucking wailed on me. And I'm like trying my hardest to just boom, 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 boom. He finally gets off, walks away. And I fucking got up, and I was like, fuck, you want more? And I was like 11 years old. I remember that. I was ready to keep going. And he fucking whooped my ass, man.
You know what? That's good.
And my buddy Matt Cook kept telling me, "Oh yeah, man, you fucking, you had him." And I was like, nah,
that's a good friend.
Danny Luther had me, brother. Danny Luther whooped my ass.
I think your face broke his hand.
Yeah. We got into it a couple of years later as we got older, and I wore him out pretty good in a good one on the basketball court. But it was that first one, he fucking beat the shit out of me.
I don't know if I've ever told you this one or not, but there was this kid when I was about the same age, and he was like two or three grades older, and we had the same bus stop. He was a bully named Eric Gillum. He would whoop my ass every day. Right. So my dad goes, I'm tired of you getting your ass kicked all the time. You got to toughen up. And I'm like, Dad, he's fucking older than me. He's bigger than me. I don't know what to do. He goes, okay. So we go down to the basement. He goes to his little wood shop area. He takes a 2x4. He cuts a piece about this big, right? Mm-hmm. Puts in my backpack. He goes, Eric starts beating your ass tomorrow. Take this out and whip his ass with it. I was like, I don't know, but okay, this is a great plan. So I'm like on the bus and like we're getting ready for the stop, and Eric's like putting fucking wet willies in my ear, and I'm like, I got this motherfucker now. Yeah. So we get off the bus and he immediately pushes me down like normal, and I unzip the backpack, I pull the fucking board out, I go to hit him, he fucking cuts me off, takes the board, fucking beats the shit out of me with it, and like throws it at me. I'm laying there like all fucked up,
laying there selling,
walking up the street, and I can see my dad out the dining room window across the street going,
once you get your ass kicked.
He's going, that's I had to do the same thing, like grow up and get big and then come back and beat those guys up just for childhood justification.
I
know,
right? I guess I can just say that I'm more famous than him or something.
There you go.
That's why we all became wrestlers, so we can we were
kick your ass.
Traumatized as kids from getting beat up.
Yeah. And I didn't get picked on either. Like I was always able to just avoid getting fucked with. Right. And I was always friends with, I was always athletic. So I was always on the football, basketball, baseball. So nobody ever bullied me or anything except for Danny Luther's ass. But
when I was a little kid,
they didn't bully me. I might've even started the fight. Cause I pushed him first and then so maybe I was the one talking shit. I just don't really remember. I just remember getting my ass handed to
me. You were the bully. You didn't know. Yeah.
You were the bully. He was just getting his comeuppance. This story's in fucking reverse.
He was definitely the bully. I just, right. I know I struck first and he won.
All right. What's your favorite type of food?
Fuck.
Like Japanese sushi, man. Give me sushi, baby.
Yeah, seafood, sushi. I think we're on the same page. Probably all three of us.
Yeah. If it's a go-to on the road, if I can search it on the Uber Eats or something, or if there's a good sushi place, we always look for that.
Or in Japan, Korean barbecue, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure, totally. What type of music you guys like? Like your favorite band or group?
I like everything. I mean, anywhere from country with, I mean, Hank Williams Jr. and all the way to Eminem. Lil Wayne. I can listen to everything.
Nice.
The older I get, the more like outlaw country that I listen to. And it's like the newer guys like Cody Jenks and the Turnpike Troubadours and all those guys. They're like grizzled road brothers, I guess. It's just fun to listen to them.
Yeah. No, totally. I get it. That's good. Best city to work in. The best city, country, you know, what do you guys love?
We like Chicago a lot. We like LA. Once we got like really over, I think the smarter cities liked us, like New York and Chicago and LA and of course Tokyo, London, like that Manchester building is always real cool to us.
Yeah,
same.
Craziest fan moment.
Man.
I feel like they keep happening.
I know, right? Well, like tell me one of them because I know there's a bunch of them.
You gotta understand, like, I'm so nuts. Like, some of these fans become part of my life. Like, Vernon Love, who's on my Instagram every day.
Just a fan.
He was standing out in front of my wrestling school marking out for me, and I thought he was Bill Dundee when I met him. Yeah. Fast forward 2 years later, and I'm getting lips tattooed on his tit that he thinks are from a woman, and they're from a man because we ribbed him, and now it's on him for the rest of his life. So I guess those are my weirdest fan moments, people who turn into, like...
You do have a hodgepodge of...
your buddies.
People around you.
I have a gaggle of geese over here.
When I'm getting picked up from going to your house, I'm getting picked up at the airport by.
I mean, you know, like the moving walkways, moving walkways that go by each other in the Tokyo airport. I remember this. I mean, I was with Rocky was even there. There was I just heard machine gun. And this girl had her thing over her hand. And she turned and looked at me and she's going the other way on the thing and kept staring. And I went, I just waved and bam, she hit the end of the thing and it flipped and she fell on the floor.
Oh my God.
Wow. Just like, you know, and she tripped at the bottom. I was like, oh.
Yeah, that's good shit.
Oh, sorry. That was the only time I ever got recognized in the Tokyo airport.
Sorry, babe.
No, one of the time.
No, that's cool.
You go to Mexico and you have some of those fun. Fuck, you have some fun crowds down there. You can play off and.
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, there was times like when I was like let's say I'm wrestling in like WWE and I'm in a hot angle. Oh my God, like it was hot. We could just go. It was awesome. I mean, it was incredible. And there was times, you know, I'd come out for, you know, whatever the show was at the time, Velocity, yeah, or whatever it was, or yeah, the main show. And, you know, it didn't even matter who I'm wrestling. And all of a sudden it's just some, you know, no reaction. And you're just like,
going, fuck,
emotion, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge part of it, man.
So that right now with all the coronavirus going on and all that stuff, I don't know how these guys are wrestling. Like in front of, I don't know how you guys are wrestling in front of nobody. Because
yeah,
like, the people who watch, and real quick to let you guys talk on that, but like we get our, like our energy and through the crowd, you know, we don't feel anything. Like you punch me in the face, that hurts. I get in the crowd, sure. It's hot, I'm in the ring and it's super loud. Punch me in the face, I don't feel anything. But now I got a muscle and there's no crowd.
I mean, it's brutal.
Walking in the ring would hurt.
I got Chavo. I got about a 5 minute countdown for me. My wife just came in and said, "We're not going to Mexican tonight." There's a.
No,
we'll there's a valet.
Sorry, a Chris Valet.
It's called Valerta's. It's right up the road, and it closes at 10. And
fuck, I want to go.
She just came in and she goes, "You might be able to hear the promo she cuts." So you gotta come on. I was like. You'll be able to see on the Patreon. I'll see my face.
No, it's all good. It's all good, man. It's all good. Trust me. I got the same thing. I got a dog looking at me.
Go back and watch it. If you're watching the Patreon, you see me going like this. Hello, my friends are here. Like, can you, you know, tell me how amazing I am first before you tell me what a cocksucker I am?
Yeah. It's welcome to the marriage of a wrestler.
Yes. Fuck.
Right. But the crowd, like how much do you guys actually feed off that crowd?
Oh, totally, man. Totally.
Well, it's the only thing that we can. I mean, that's why Talking Shop Mania was so fun, because you could hear us just screaming in the background.
That was it. Because otherwise, because it's weird, you know. And I can say this: if we're in like Madison Square Garden and they're electric, we're having the time of our life. But like him and I have come home from Japan when they were working with, you know, GFW or whoever, and we're in a minor league ballpark and it's not filled up and whatever. But then we walk out and that Bullet Club music hits and the people who are there are going nuts and they're there to see us and everything we do. Every time we do this dumb shit, they're fucking popping. We're going, fuck yeah. We're having as much fun as we were having in the garden. We get
there and go, hell and there wasn't many, but there was just, they were all so vocal. That shit made it so much fun.
No, for sure. Totally. For sure. Totally. What do you guys, now I know we just talked, had Talking Shop Mania, so let's quickly talk about that and put that over and see how everybody can watch that still.
Oh,
it's
man.
It's gonna live forever on Fight TV. So once you buy it, you can watch it. Then you can go back and watch it again. I don't know timeline wise when this is coming out, but there are replays all over conventional American pay per view. Whether you have Direct, Dish, In Demand. The Canadian networks, you can just fucking scroll down on your pay-per-view area. You can click buy. You can purchase it. It's just $14.99. It's the price.
Have to actually pay.
One of Chavo's margaritas, as we were saying in our last couple of interviews, it's worth the price of a margarita. I wasn't sure. I've seen the reviews. Buy that shit. It totally is the worst pay-per-view ever, but I promise you'll laugh.
It's so successful, we might have to actually pay Chavo for part two.
It was awesome, man. For just to be a part of it. When I heard you guys got released, the first thing I did was call Gallows and said, "Hey, I want to be a good brother. How do I get out of this, guys?"
Because don't worry, like,
you guys are doing it right. You're having fun in wrestling. You guys, I was just talking to Hulk Hogan the other day, not dropping names.
Hulk rules, man.
Actually was.
Love Hulk.
I actually was, and he was. I was telling him, because he saw my promo on, not my promo, a little Instagram push of the Talking Shop, where I was talking about this is the worst pay-per-view, I'm ashamed to be a part of it. And I was like, oh my God. And he asked me, he goes, "Hey, was that a shoot? Like, were you like, you know, like this guy sucked?" And I'm like, "Well, we're talking about the pay-per-view. It's a horrible
awesome
pay-per-view, but I talked about how awesome you guys were, that you guys grew up in the wrong era. You should have been in the 80s, because you guys are about having fun wrestling. You guys are about you know, partying with the boys, but getting up in the morning and training and making the town and busting your asses in the ring and doing it again. That's what you guys are about. And he was like, oh man, yeah. All right, cool, cool, you know.
I love Hawk, man.
That's so fucking great.
Great. Yeah. He, I don't know if he was just having beers or whatever, but we popped big. I popped big, I can say. And I don't pop from shit anymore. You know how we get so jaded. Of course, but when our Slammiversary thing dropped, Impact put it out, and it was like the highest rated tweet or something they had. Right. But the first comment was Hawk, and he, like I said, he might have been drunk, but he was like, hey, cheers to the Good Brothers, the best team to ever do it. And I called him and I was like, Hulk said we're the best. So if we didn't need the money, we could just fucking quit. Fuck it.
That's because Chavo probably put us over on Talking Shop of Mania.
Top of Shop of Mania, guys. You can find that on Fight TV. It was a pleasure to do it. I can't wait for Talking Shop of Mania 2. Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, Doc Gallows, many names. Man, Gallo of many names.
If you're going to watch Talking Shop of Mania, please turn the volume up during the Chico Chavo gym fight. My favorite line of the whole pay-per-view is not the padded chair.
No, the padded chair spot. No,
it was not the chair shot. Not the chair shot. The padded chair to the head.
Yeah, the padded chair. I lost it when I watched
it. Hey, guys, where can anybody wants to find you? Where can they find you and see what's going on with you?
At Machine Gun KA for Carl Anderson. Famous Hoot at the _big LG for me, the Big Hoot, Gallows and Anderson, the Good Brothers. Catch us on Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Impact on Access. Don't sleep on Impact. We're about to make that shit rock again.
Awesome, guys. Thanks. And you, the best tag, in my opinion, the best tag team out there right now. Definitely out of the ring for me, for sure.
That's all that matters.
We're out of the ring. As long as we're Good Brothers, out of the ring, no matter.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. In the ring, you might not get a 5-star match from us, but you have a 5-star hangout session.
We'll give you a 4-star match and a 5-star hangout session.
He literally told our new boss, they just come to see us walk out and do this, brother. It's not working.
Yeah, they don't want to see. I don't give a fuck about our stars. They just want to see us, brother.
That's you guys are figuring out. If that's what's really going on, that you don't actually have to wrestle, they just want to see you. You figured it out.
That's what we need.
I don't know what's worse, that I said that or that my boss agreed with it.
I was just going like this. All
right. Right. Yeah. Hey, I love you guys.
Chavo, thank you, brother.
Chav, thanks for having us, good brother.
Nah, for sure.
Appreciate you, baby.
Be safe, guys. You know, we'll be in touch. I'm sure we'll be talking soon and texting probably pictures and stuff.
Swimming soon.
You know it. Thanks, good brother.
Be safe, guys. Love you guys.
Love you too.
Love you, brother.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Peace out.
See you, baby. Thank you.
Later, brothers.
And there you have it, the very first podcast of Suplexes and Cerveza with Chavo Guerrero Jr. It may not air in that order, but that was the very first one. I popped my cherry with the Good Brothers, as Gallows reminded the world. I love those guys. I should have been a Good Brother. I definitely miss my calling. Those guys are having way too much fun in wrestling, and I think that's something that wrestling is missing, is the boys just having fun and just out there enjoying themselves, not only in the ring, but outside of the ring. And it's a great business. It's a fun business, and those guys are taking full advantage of it. Don't forget to check me out on Twitter at MexWarrior and on Instagram at Chavo Guerrero Jr. Also, check out my Patreon page that is launching coinciding with this podcast, and it's also called Suplexes and Cerveza. That's where you can see the Zoom video of this podcast and a whole lot more. And that is on patreon.com. Thanks again for listening. Can't wait to do my next one, and hope you guys will join me on that. God bless you guys. Be safe, and viva la raza.
Ooh, Chavo.
¿Quieres pedo? Nachale. Ya sabes que a mí me vale. ¿Quieres pedo? Nachale. Cause you know that I'm down for the jale. Knuckle up and booty, let's get down. So I go the extreme. Watch out, homie. Slow your roll before I bounce on your head like a 64. She good.
Asians, Mexicans, God, I'm so Latino. So you know I bring the heat like mad or an idiot to the rhythm of a beat. I wear my bandana like a king wears a crown. Step up, jump up, and get beat down. Respect the name, bottom line, we'll crack your frame and embed it in your brain. Got nothing to lose, so I go for broke. I hope you got the memo that I ain't no joke. Epa, epa, la conecta. What you gonna do when I come to get ya? Gangster, gangster, tell me how you do it. Mexican connection, so there's nothing to it. Hit 'em up, toss 'em up, what? I do what I want, cause I don't give a what.